Blog Talk Radio. Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
Welcome to another segment of Center Stage. Today's show, we're going to talk about the N-word. Are we giving the N-word too much power? I searched the internet this week looking for the origin of that word, and I came across a definition. Maybe it's correct, maybe not, but I think it's probably pretty close to the truth. It said during slavery, black slaves were sold to the Americans by Portuguese slave traders. The Americans were buying Negroes, which was Spanish for black. The slave owners coined the term the N-word, trying to say Negro or black. It didn't start out as a derogatory term. It appears that it became that after slavery during the Civil Rights Movement. Blacks today say that it means a low-life person, which in my opinion can be anyone, not just black people. That said, I'm going to introduce my guest today, and he's going to help me sort through it. Kundalini. Kundalini is a very good friend of mine, as well as the nephew of country singer Charlie Pride and one of Dallas's hottest club promoters, as well as being a very smart man. So we're going to introduce him. I mean, we're going to bring him to the stage and let us tell us what he thinks. Hi, Kun. How you doing?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm very good. I know we differ on the definition. Can you tell me your definition of the N-word?
No, I don't think we really disagree with the definition. I think you really hit the nail on the head with the issue of the root of the problem, which is going back to the root word. So as long as we can keep in mind that someone came along and tried to come up with their own terminology for it or negativity using it, and you know, we're all on the same page.
Okay. Do you think we as black people take that word and give it too much power, though? Do you think we give people the power to hurt us with that word by getting upset when we hear it?
I mean, we give them way too much power, and a lot of times more credit than they deserve to begin with. So, of course, we do that on the regular.
So when you hear the word, if someone were to call you the N-word, do they? What kind of response would that get from you?
I mean, nowadays, I for myself, I tend to laugh at it. I think it's kind of funny because, I mean, it's just as quick as you found the research to go back and figure out where it came from and to find the root of it, and as much technology that's available to us now to figure out that that's the best word they can come up with nowadays. I mean, it seems like maybe they should have some thesaurus or something with some synonyms to kind of help them out and give them some new words or something. I mean, it's like now it's kind of redundant, you know, and especially, you know, in some instances we've been starting to find a power of our own. We haven't really just maximized it, but we're starting to find a power in self and find a power within just being who we are and what we are as black people, as Nubians, as Africans, and so on and so forth, that, you know, if that's the best they can do, God bless them.
I agree. I completely agree. My second guest has arrived, and that's Mr. A.J. Houston. Mr. A.J. Houston is a poet, an author, a motivational speaker, and he's Fort Worth's Poetry Slam team coach. Welcome to the show, A.J.
Hey, what's up, Carrie? How you doing?
I'm good. Did you hear what we said so far about the N-word? I think we discussed your definition of the N-word. Can you give us what your definition, your origin of the N-word and how it started?
Well, what I've read so far is, you know, in the beginning it was around the river. It was based on the river, the pronunciation of the river.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of the river Niger, it was nigger.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the translation just translates when it, you know, just like from state to state, when you take a word somewhere else and it changes forms, like y'all in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So nigger kind of stuck, and I think the strength of the word came from when they were trying to corral or keep the slaves motivated to stay on the plantation.
Mm-hmm.
It was like they had to string up a nigger every now and then, or cut his Achilles tendon, or do something to mistreat him to show that if you try and leave, this is what's going to happen.
So fear.
Yeah, so the word nigger was a word of fear and a word of power for them, and it wasn't anything of glory for us.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask both of you guys, and we're going to have an honest moment here. Do y'all use the word yourself?
I do, but not around my sons, and it's usually something that's not that's not for open consumption. Because, you know, I think I did a poem on your show, the last one I was on, and the title of the poem is My Niggas, that I actually wrote for my nephews. Because
I want you to do that poem today so people can get, we'll get to that. But, yeah, we want you to do that poem because you had a reason why you did it, right?
Oh, yeah, because it's like he thought he was all that, and he got busted with some drugs and money on him, so now he's doing 10.
Okay.
You know, they call it Big Ben doing 10 in the pen.
Kundalini, do you use the word?
Yep.
Okay. And so what context do you use the word? Do you use the word in private, or do you use the word publicly? How do you use it?
I mean, as far as publicly, I would have to say, I mean, it just ends up being a situation where I'm at. I'm not going to be at a conference party with a bunch of conservatives and white people and all people dressed up and just run around using the word because I feel like it. That would just be out of context for me. But as far as, you know, I'm comfortable with me, so I just use it, you know, wherever I feel comfortable. Am I going to just use it on a regular? It's not. My vocabulary is big enough. I don't have to use that word if I want to. So, you know, and even to go back to even like the issue he brought up earlier about the word Niger, it actually goes a step back further with Niger, which is actually a Greek root where it actually means black. So it takes it a step back even in attempting to pronunciate words that they don't know how to pronounce. So it's not just a system of just them being negative. It's they're trying to pronounce something that they can't. And even if you go back and look at, like, the movie Black Knight with Martin Lawrence, you'll find out about Moors, which were also black. And there's a whole nother issue when it comes to being indigenous in this country and other places when you're dealing with the Moors. So it just has a lot to do with on their behalf and in this particular case, you know, those white people who chose to use it and those black people who also helped them, you know, pronunciating words and using words that really they didn't know what they was trying to use.
Okay. I'd like to say to the listeners, if you'd like to weigh in on this topic, call us at 347-850-8390. Again, that number, if you'd like to call and weigh in on the topic, the number is 347-850-8390. Let me ask you, when you hear white people use the term, how is it, even if they don't mean it negatively, maybe they're just using it like they've heard a black kid use it or a black man use it. How is that received by you?
It's not received well at all.
It's not, okay. So no matter how he uses it, it's never going to be right with you?
No, not at all.
And why is that?
Well, it's because not that he was the generation that originated the concept, that originally used it in the direct negative connotation. It's just that, you know, I tell my sons not to use it. So anybody of any other color, you know, I have some friends that have said, you know, said to me, like, we're laughing about it. But it's never a point of every conversation that it comes up.
Okay.
So I can't have anybody else, you know, because I tell them not to use it. So I sure can't have nobody else tell them.
So Kundalini, if someone were to say to you that was another race, hey, my N-word, you know how, you know, we use it, you know, sometime in our race, would that be acceptable?
No, it wouldn't be acceptable. They'd probably get educated real quick with that. It wouldn't be violent, but it'd definitely be educated. But I will speak on something that I'll tell you that's happening right now.
Okay.
There was an event that a young lady by the name of Alcides Carcion, she put together out in the Euless area out here. And it was at a venue where the owner of the venue did not want, he didn't mind them using any other word, the context, and the word of people performing. However, he did not want them to use the N-word, which was very surprising to me in a positive light. But what? Let me tell you what happened. One of the artists chose to use it, or in the process, at first it was by accident. They stopped the music. They made the point about it. He was like, okay, you know, I won't do it because he didn't have the lyrics on the CD. They played it again. He did it again. He ended up doing it a third time.
Wow.
What was crazy about that was not only was he black, but all of a sudden he began to enforce the issue as if to say that this is, you know, this is how we talk in the hood. This was his excuse for it. Now, let me tell you that that's not really my point of the story. My point of the story is this because it got better. There was a white girl who attempted to defend him using the word.
Really?
And nobody did anything other than watch this take place.
Wow.
Now, that in itself threw me for a loop in this whole process because I was like, no one did anything about the fact of him using the word, but nobody even got upset that the white lady was defending him using it.
But that
like,
would include who? Because you didn't do anything either, right?
I wasn't going to.
Okay. So that was probably
I'm not going to lie about it. I wasn't going to.
So then everybody else was thinking, correct?
I don't know what everybody is thinking. I spoke up on it.
Did you?
I did that. I spoke up on it, but, I mean, as far as I don't know what everybody else chose to do, but I asked everybody. I said nobody felt uncomfortable about the white lady. Nobody paid attention to the fact that the white lady was defending the issue. I mean, because it was surprising to me.
I
wanted to talk to her personally to get her. I really wanted to just get an understanding of where in her mind was she comfortable with defending him using the word. It wasn't about her saying it. She didn't want to say it. She was defending the fact that he was using it.
I think people are becoming more and more comfortable with that argument.
But it's happening on a regular, which means to me that just like we have, you know, the gentleman AJ, you know, saying that he'll speak up definitely against it, there's a whole other issue that's coming about right now that people are not even really seeing that's happening. And it's happening even to the point to where I've seen performers, which I've had to speak to a couple of them on it. I've seen performers who are white who will get up there and use the word.
Wow. Very comfortably, don't they?
Very comfortably.
Wow. Because
it's all they hang around is us, and it gets to, and even those that hang around them, they're just like, oh, okay.
Hey, y'all, we got some phone calls we need to take. Let's go to the phone lines. Area code 336, you're on center stage.
Yo,
hello?
What's up? How you doing, hon?
Fine, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. You know, I saw your show,
okay.
And I saw the topic, and it's an interesting topic. I've been talking with a lot of people and building a lot of people on it, and I wanted to chime in really quick if I could.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it. One of the things, I think that, first of all, we're overanalyzing a bit too much, you know, and I'll give you an example. You know, I'm a little bit old school. You can see two old friends. They walk up to each other, and I'm going to be a little bit raw. Is that okay?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Two old friends go up to each other. One guy said, hey, you old son of a bitch, how you doing? And they'll hug and they'll embrace, you know what I'm saying, and everything will be cool. But you can't walk up to them and go, hey, you son of a bitch, because a fist fight might break out.
Okay.
And my point is, it's not so much the word, but the energy behind the words. Words are sounds, noises, utterances to represent feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have two black people that's going, yo, what's up, my nigga? That black person is not looking at you saying, hey, what's up? I think you're garbage. I think you're less than a human being. Hey, what's up? Oh, you know what I'm saying? I hate you. You know what I'm saying? It's that we've taken the definition, the negative definition of the word away and given it a positive definition, because that word has been used for so many years and decades and centuries as a weapon against us, a word that represents a negative feeling that white people have had against us. That's why we have a problem with it on the lips of a white person, because we don't know the energy behind it. We don't know if they mean, hey, what's up, how you doing, or hey, what's up, I think you're trash. Much in the same way a stranger doesn't know when you're walking up, hey, you son of a bitch, they don't know you. They don't know anything about you. You're not friends with them like that. And you hear that all the time. You hear females who are friends call each other the B word. You hear gays, you know what I'm saying, who are friends call each other the F word. You know what I'm saying? And it's a different cipher, and it's a different definition behind it, because that's what's really that's really the essence of it, the energy behind the word, and not so much the word itself. It's what kind of energy is put behind it, and I think that we have a problem with it on the voices of white people, because we don't know what kind of energy is coming back. We don't know if they're being cool with us, you know what I'm saying, or if they're trying to disrespect us and put us down as human beings. Much in the same way two old friends can't call each other names or talk bad about each other, so it will sound like they're talking bad about each other, but really they're just being social.
Okay, so we don't know if they're laughing at us or with us.
Well, basically, because so often for centuries, for 450 years, nigger is a word that the white race, racist whites have used to describe us as subhuman,
mm-hmm.
as less than human beings.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so it's difficult, even now in 2010, for us to hear white people use the word, we'll cringe. I know I will. I'm not comfortable with them using it. I don't mind saying that. I'm not.
And I'm not.
You know
either.
What I'm saying? And I don't use the word that often. I have friends who use it, but it doesn't bother me because I understand the definition behind what they're saying. And it's not so much the word, but it's the energy and the feeling that comes with it. But I'll never know, right, at least not at this stage in my life, what that white person is feeling if they use that word in my direction, so I don't allow it.
Wow. Thank you very much for your comment.
Thank you very much for having me.
No problem. Panel, what do you think of what he said?
I know I definitely have to agree about that because, I mean, words, like I think we discussed this earlier, I'm personally kind of tired of accepting definitions from somebody called Webster who wrote a book that was supposed to be about diction. That's why it's called a dictionary. So every time they come along and try to have some type of control of using words, it's the fact of that energy behind it. And it's the fact that they're trying to go back and trying to give us definitions, and then and all of a sudden, for some apparent reason, we think that we're less than intelligent enough that we have to accept what they rule. And I don't think that we have to always accept it. I think we're intelligent human beings as well, and we have the capability of our own capacity of thought, so we can use words and make sense out of it, no different than we use slang terms on the regular. That's really something that we do. We take a term, and when somebody tries to create a situation of it negative, we can turn it into a positive. Is it always going to work? No, because there's not enough of us really consulting with the youth and those who have not only the negative representation that comes with what they're trying to term us, we're not helping it move into a positive light and helping them try to get in a way that we know that it could be shaped. So it's always going to be an issue.
Okay. AJ, you agree with what the caller said?
Well, I'm saying I agree in concept for sure, because I don't really think that anybody can be wrong on whatever their, you know, whatever the conclusion of the matter is. And I think we all get to the same place going different routes. But my thing is that I'm saying as a writer and a poet, I just like you say, words have energy, but words are energy within themselves. So when we let somebody call us any negative term, regardless, you know, just like in the Bible it says, we speak things into being.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's where I am on the point is, it's not the fact that somebody's saying it, even because I have three sons that are living at home now, 16, 13, 11. And we've had this conversation multiple times that whatever you say, you can speak into being. I truly believe that, and I've seen it done.
Mm-hmm.
So, and letting somebody bring the negatives into your life, the negatives might not stay, but you still have that feeling, that negative feeling. So if you're trying to become positive beings of positive ions or whatever you want to call us, we have to choose the words that we use. And like I was telling you earlier, I think when we focus on education, being a priority,
mm-hmm.
so many things that everybody's accepting on such a minute level will change because they've elevated the heights of their understanding to understand more than what they used to.
Understand that. We're going to go back to the phone line. Area code 803. Welcome to Center Stage.
Yes, this is Thomas calling from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Thank you for calling.
What up, Thomas?
Yeah, what's going on? I think that we have to reevaluate our system of logic. I wonder if you follow me on my journey here. Now, I'm originally from New York. Now, people who have been victimized the way we have and others who have shared a similar fate, you wouldn't dare hear them call themselves. Like, if you go to New York, you wouldn't hear a Jew call and say, hey, this is my favorite kike, or here's my favorite hiney. Or you wouldn't hear an Italian, you know, say, hey, you know, how's my favorite guap or guido doing? Or you wouldn't hear an Hispanic saying, hey, you lazy spick, come over here, how you been? So I think I think because of our damage, our logic is off. You can't, there's no way to logically say that we make a term that is abhorrent to everything that is that makes us human and say that we made it our own, because it's not. And I think that just speaks to the fact that how injured we are, the fact that we would accept something that doesn't make any sense, because you won't hear any other you won't hear any other ethnic group
mm-hmm.
talk to each other that way.
That's true. That's true. And how did we take something that was meant to hurt us, turn around, and then use it as an okay word for us to use amongst ourselves and around other groups as well? It doesn't make sense.
Well, it goes back to, you know, if you had to go back to Carter G. Woodson, the Miseducation of the Negro.
Exactly.
And he said that, you know, if you condition a person in a certain way, even if there is no door, they'll make a door to go out of. to follow your agenda. And I'm loosely paraphrasing what he said, but that's basically what we have, because you went and get Chinese people to say, come here, you chink bastard.
Panel, do y'all agree with the caller?
Yeah, we agree. But the way we got the same point is that it's the level of education that we're accepting in our community and in our families. Just because the dropout rate is 60%.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to say we're approaching this, we're directing dropout rate, but we want to, you know, send you to get a GED. And I'm saying, not saying that the education is the best, but the thing is you have to use what you have right now until you can actually make it better. But I think with an increase in the level of education that we accept or that we promote in our communities, the use of the word will be lessened. I'm quite sure, because it's all about education.
Okay. Thank you, caller. Is it that in the hip-hop generation, rap music has desensitized us to that word? It's heard so often that even two-year-olds will say it and they don't even understand what they're saying. Have we been desensitized to the word?
No, I have to speak on that one. We can't blame two-year-olds for being desensitized to nothing, because a two-year-old is a two-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to change whether or not it's 2010 or whether or not it's 20,000 B.C. They're still two-year-olds. I want to go back to a point that they made about education and the word reevaluate, because we've evaluated things, but we're not reevaluating the issue.
Mm-hmm.
If there is such a term in a system of logic where the word Niger, Niger, black is positive, and let's look at it from a God and devil perspective. If God starts it off and the devil comes along and takes a piece of it and miseducates it, and in the process somebody comes back and finds that the original term, which came from the Most High, is a positive term, are we to continue to accept the definition of what the devil gave to it?
Mm. Good point.
That doesn't really make any sense. We would always go back to the original. As it says in many places from the Bible to the Quran and whatnot, anytime you get confused, go back in time, go back to the original, go back to the beginning, and you'll get back to your source. So how can we accept the fact that in the beginning, which we've already established, it was positive, someone came along, gave a negative connotation to it, and all of a sudden their negative connotation is much more powerful than the original term it was given? How is that possible?
Well, because of publicity of the word. I'm saying, just as you said, when you go and you study, you know, I guess everything that we got from Greece or from the Greeks, and you'll find that at the University of Luxor, that's why they learned what they learned, for Alexandria and anywhere else. But there, as long as you take from somewhere and give it an origin of somewhere else, just like us in America, see, we are still having our gum swabbed and blood tests just to find our roots, because it was so diluted that when we came over here on ships with just the gender and the ages of the people and the region they were from, no names. So the whole plan was first to just start the roots, the history of your country, because any other neighborhood you go to, they say, yeah, my great-great-grandfather came here on a ship on whatever, and he was here. They know their history. We know maybe 2-3 generations, and after that, it's completely gone.
I disagree with that, and let me tell you why. First of all, let's talk about Mr. Columbus, who so sailed the ocean blue in 1492. When we look at the issue, he was trying to get to India. He never got to India. He ended up over here, and he called.
He didn't end up over here.
At the end of the day, we're dealing with just a basic term without going through the whole process. He got here, and he saw a group of people, and he started calling them Indians, right?
No.
That's pretty much just as crazy as trying to get to California, don't get no further than Utah, and calling everybody in Utah Californians, and they accept it.
I'm with you.
We have people who were already here. It's already documented. Look up the Moors, M-O-O-R. Look up the Moors. We had people who were black who were already on this side of the planet. They have a history. There is a way to trace it. It is documented. Some of those Moors who were black people were in the government during the same time that supposedly we were all separated and could not be in government. These are facts. These are things that are documented, but nobody's talking about that. We're talking about stuff that happened basically later on and dealing with a whole section of people that were brought on ships, not talking about the people who were already on this side of the planet.
Yeah, but
and these are documented facts.
Okay, but when you talk about the Moors were here and left, and that's but Christopher Columbus.
Where did you get that they left from?
No, but check it out. They were travelers. They were the first people. I'm saying the first ships were in Africa. I'm saying, see, what you're saying is basically what I'm saying. But I'm saying Christopher Columbus never made it here. He was in the Bahamas. His statue's in the Bahamas on when he landed in the Bahamas, and that's where he chills. But what we've done is attributed history to people because we weren't the writers of it. And just like you say, there are books and there are things that you can find out the exact facts. And we have access to that, but we don't have people staying in school long enough to even want to learn the facts.
But
so
we don't even have
education.
Schools that even supply us with that type of knowledge. I mean, if we really wanted to, if we really banded together and got on words such as being indigenous, which is a very, very important fact in this day and time about being indigenous, which means that you are here on this side of the planet prior to the existence of the White House, there is laws and statutes that exist across the world that says if you're indigenous and you can prove so by right and by law, your information has to be put in the books. It's not a request. It's a statement. It's a declaration. That's
well, let me
difference.
Jump in there. Jump in there. If Beyonce can do a song called Bootylicious, and that song be so popular that they put it in the Webster and they define it and they all of a sudden it becomes a word that people use all the time, why can't we then go to the Webster and demand that the definition of the N-word be changed?
Well, here's a question. Who actually asked for Bootylicious to be put in there, and what organization do you go to?
You know what? Very interesting point. Don't know. When I
who asked
but there's
for
only
it,
certain,
said, you know, Bootylicious.
There's only certain
let's throw it in the dictionary. Oh, okay. Well, cool. Well, put it on the Internet.
Now, there's only certain people that have a spell to wake up Dead Webster to add things to the dictionary, you know, because a lot of people always wake up Dead Webster.
Okay.
But then that's definitely a process. That's why you have Wikipedia.
That gives them the power to put that in that book. Who is that organization? Who is those group of people?
Very true.
That's all I'm asking. Who is it? Who,
but
this like,
know,
okay.
Our song was so popular that it demanded.
I don't care
I
how
guess.
Popular her song was. Somebody had to give it the right to be in that book. Because I guarantee you, we can't write up a dictionary and give it that. If it's that easy, let's just go ahead and make up a dictionary and put our own words together, if it's that simple.
But
obviously, somebody has an authority. Somebody has an authority.
But maybe we need to figure out who that authority is and say, you know what,
that's
this
my
word
whole question.
Has gone on long enough with a negative connotation, and we're going to change it today. We want
exactly.
The word defined as this, therefore taking away the power.
Exactly. So, again, who is that authority? Who gives the authority for bling bling, Bootylicious, and whatever, and even the word ain't, which is where it started, who has the authority over there to say, okay, well, that's a word now, you know, just, and we're going to put it out there and tell y'all, and y'all just accept it.
I'm going to research that and find out, and maybe in my next upcoming shows I'll bring that up. Let me ask you this. In the workplace, is it ever acceptable to use the N-word in the workplace?
I don't agree with that.
Okay. So never, if you and your homeboy work at the same factory and y'all just on the assembly line just chatting it up, you never, ever let it slip in
the
work.
Now, there's a difference in what you're saying now. Because, like, chatting is, like, most people, I guess you also have to look at the concept of work. Most people think work would be, like, telemarketing jobs, places where it's going to be a bunch of white people around and that you got to clock in and clock out and things of that nature.
But work is work. Working for somebody else.
I mean, yeah, but, you know, being an entertainer is work. Being a promoter is work. Being a DJ is work. There's still jobs. You're self-employed. So everybody has these concepts of what they create as a job, which is a big problem in itself, which is one of the reasons why we can't get further, because we forget that we can be self-employed, but we can let, you know, Hispanics get an understanding of that. They understand how to be self-employed and how to create their own business, but we do it, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, oh, you're just hustling. So, you know, we got a backwards concept. But going back to your point, you know, the situation is definitely going to determine the issue as well. Because, of course, if you're in a telemarketing job or a professional, what they call white-collar business or whatnot, yeah, to walk around like that, it would probably be a total issue. I mean, we still have an issue with the word itself, you know, which is where we probably need to start within our own community and come to that understanding. Then we could probably take it to the next level. So until then, yeah, it's going to always be a problem until we can agree this is what it's going to be. And once we can come to the point of agreeing, we got a whole other thing that we're going to be able to do, which is we might be able to actually move forward because we really have a hard time agreeing with each other anyway.
I agree. AJ, would you agree with that?
Yeah, basically. It would definitely always be a problem. But see, the thing is I don't agree with, you know, taking it and redefining it to be anything. I just think that you can't redefine, you know, it's like a thing I wrote was talking about changing all the, you know, the trees that slaves were hung on and call them weeping willows or something. You know, it's the same concept. That tree is going to always be where slaves were hung, but just because you gave the tree a different name doesn't change the reference or the point of the tree or what happened on the tree.
But again, going back to what I said earlier, we're referencing the original term. We didn't change it. Somebody else came along and changed it. So what's wrong with us referencing the original terminology that we were given? That's what I don't understand. If a tree was originally called a tree, why can't we call it a tree? Mm. Now, we can say on that tree was hung that black man.
No, but that,
now, when
but
we
that
get to the point
I'm
of
saying.
Going the extra mile and calling it a weeping willow, that's the extra mile. Now we're changing it again. We're not going back to the original term. We're trying to give some other new creative definition.
Now, see, you're wrong there. See, every tree is a different type of tree.
It's still a tree. I wasn't talking about the types. That's a whole other issue.
But I was talking about the types. That's what I'm saying. So you took what I said out of context. I was talking about the type of trees. To change the type of tree, because every tree is a type. You have oaks, you have, you know, whatever names. So I understand what you're saying about the word, but see, to go back to the original word, it wouldn't be nigger in the first place. You understand what I'm saying?
There was
no nigger word.
Why can't we go back to the original term? So that it
But there was no nigger word. I'm saying there was no word nigger, so it wouldn't be in existence.
Okay, let me break in here. If you'd like to call and weigh in on this subject, the number is 347-850-8390. Again, the number to call in at is 347-850-8390. Now, AJ, we talked earlier about your poetry in which you have a poem to use this word. I want you to recite that, and I want to say, start now. We know this whole show is about the N-word, and I'm only kind of saying, like, you know, I've heard the poetry before, and I love the piece, and I understand the context in which he put it together. But for all those just saying that this will contradict the whole subject matter, you'll have to listen to the poetry and decide for yourself. AJ, can you give it to us?
Okay, I don't usually preface anything that I would do, but, you know, my nephew just got 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in the penal system for, you know, for getting caught at what he was doing, which, you know, I always told him whatever you get caught doing, you need to be able to accept the time that you're given because you got caught doing it.
Right.
But anyway, I was writing this poem. I'm actually trying to finish it up. I'm adding it to a track. I'm writing it for him. The title of the poem is My Nigga. So it starts off. It says, you know, we all say we ain't niggas. So why we still act the part? You know, it's a damn shame, but everybody got game, but we still be niggas at heart. I said, just a few years ago, we were mourning at the cemetery. The word nigga was dead, but that was before we had shit, way before that swag shit. Now we keep nigga in head. There's too many songs with vulgarities, but you can't say that in school, so I guess it's a cop-out, a 50% dropout, because they'd rather stay fools. I'm saying, remember back in the day, there was a radio edit for every word you heard, every song you heard, and it won't be long before every rap song is required to have three cuss words before every verb. You know, we all say we ain't niggas. Why we still act the part. It's a damn shame because everybody got game, but we still be niggas at heart. Yo, son, yo, I bet you thought your legs would always be moving real fast, and I bet you thought the popos would never catch up with that ass, and I bet you thought you'd always had that swag and a pocket full of cash, but it's impossible to raise your seeds sitting on the other side of that glass. Yeah, we all say we ain't niggas. So why we still act the part? You know, it's a damn shame everybody got game, but we still be niggas at heart. You know, we have fatherless sons creating fatherless sons, so every day we multiply the problem by a million to one. You know how the 80-year-old man said the other day how much his life would have changed if his father had just been home. See, being without a father is like staying home alone. See, there's nothing bad about mothers, for they taught us to be strong. But you're so much less than a man if you're just a voice inside a phone. You know, we all say we ain't niggas. So why we still act the part? You know, it's a damn shame because everybody got game, but we still be niggas at heart. So we really live on the opposite side of consciousness. As for me, I keep a tight grip on reality. Problem BC, it ain't for the faint-hearted. From the words of my dearly departed, see, I laugh and I talk, but I'll be damned if I play. And maybe you think these are just words to say, so consider me 9 months pregnant with a poem due today. So either rush me to my pen and pad or get the fuck out of my way. You know, we all say we ain't niggas. So while we still like departed, it's a damn shame because everybody got game, but we still be niggas at heart. How many young girls every night cry themselves to sleep? And how many young boys, it was their decision to just take it to the streets? And how many men through life battles forgot their promises to keep? And how many nights have you set up depressed and couldn't eat? So back up from the stage, you can't take the fucking heat. You know, we all say we're niggas. But we'll still act the part, but it's a damn shame because everybody got game, but we'll still be niggas at heart. Danger, danger. See, we're in this construction here. We can't accept your fix-it plan. There's too many walks of life for my ideas to fit into your hands. See, my ancestors broke their backs while they were toiling on this land. And I refuse to spend another 400 years my head's buried in the sand. So I'm going to teach them to be strong so they can be a woman or a man. So I'm going to change their father ain't so they would know their fathers can. You know, we all say we ain't niggas. So why we still act the part? That's a damn shame, man. Everybody got game. But we still be niggas at heart.
Now, for those who heard that, you might say, well, you know, he's using the N-word. So I'll say to my panel, is it okay that we accept the N-word in poetry, in movies, and in rap music, but then we say it's not okay to say the word?
But in his particular situation, he was making a point. I mean, come on, some people got to get some form of education. Come on, if he's making a point out of it, why would it not be something?
But see, couldn't the movie producer say the same thing, and couldn't the rapper say the same thing?
I mean, everybody gonna be able to say the same thing, but you know, not everybody tell the truth. Like you said, you know, they acting apart.
That's what I was
so,
explaining to her.
You know, they're not telling the truth. So I mean, yeah, they could say, well, you know, I'm trying to explain a point, and some of them are, but then there's quite a few who aren't. You know, everybody has the intentions. You know, just like we ain't blaming, you know, any of the people that made Predator or Terminator or something for shooting a whole bunch of people and letting our kids watch that. But, you know, he was making a point out of it, so it's a time and a place for everything. And if we get to the point, like he said earlier, if we raise up to that level of consciousness, that level of education, we will be able to perfectly overstand that whole situation of when that time and place is. And right now we're trying to get out of a state of confusion that we've been put into. So it's going to be trials and tribulations getting up to that point. But we need to get there so that he can say a poem like that and the people who understand get the point. Not going to go back and try to use it and say, oh, my God, I can't believe he said it so many times. There was a point to the issue.
Okay.
Because it is an issue.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So then some white person says, well, why do you get mad when Mel Gibson said it, or, you know, to his girlfriend, or Kramer said it in the comedy club, or Dr. Laura said it on her talk show? They're just using the word, and they're just expressing themselves the same way he expressed himself. First of all,
Mel Gibson, from listening to it, it sounded like the dude was drunk, so that's a whole other issue. On top of that, for her to even just have, I mean, she got to be bored to put this dude out on blast like that. I mean, really, I mean, what do we care? I don't think Mel Gibson is finna feed anybody in my family, so whatever that dude got to say, that's his business.
But you know, they say a drunk mouth is a sober mind. And
okay, but
well,
I'm not going to meet Mel Gibson no time soon. It's for me. It's not that serious.
Some people,
like,
you know, may be helping support his movie. So when let me quote his exact.
We support issues of drama, period. I mean, what movie has he been in that's just so positive that we just need to be like, oh, my God, this dude deserves, you know, just some type of great reward for doing so much positive stuff with the movies? I mean, Lethal Weapon, really?
But wait a minute, what was the movie about Christ?
I don't necessarily agree with his version of the story anyway. So I mean, there's going to be a problem right there.
Okay, his exact quote. Let me quote it. He was arguing with his girlfriend, who is Caucasian as well, and so this is what makes it even crazier. He said, "You're an embarrassment to me. You look like an effing pig in heat. If you get raped by a pack of N-words, it will be your fault." Now, how did you drive from where you were to a pack of N-words?
But that same line is in Any Given Sunday in the movie.
What do you mean? I mean,
what movie?
That same exact line is in Any Given Sunday in the movie with Jamie Foxx and everybody else.
Now, is
because,
it?
Yeah, because when the guy is getting fired from his job as a doctor, He's trying to tell his girlfriend to come on, but she don't want to come. She's hanging out. She's like, no, I'm going to stay. He say, well, I don't give a damn if you get fucked in the ass by a whole bunch of nigga Neanderthals or whatever he said, you know, and just
so
gone on.
So Mel Gibson quote movies.
So that's the line from the movie. Yeah, for real it is.
Okay. Let me give you an example of what Kramer said. Kramer said at a comedy club called Laugh, he was being heckled really badly, obviously, and he obviously was having an off night. When he told them to throw his ass out, he's an N-word, look, there's an N-word. And then he said, they're going to arrest me now for calling a black man the N-word. You know, all comedians get heckled. What would make him go to that extreme?
Okay,
he cracked under pressure.
Now, in that situation, I tell you, he cracked under pressure. But see, the problem is, there was probably two or three blacks on the stage before he got up there.
Okay.
That had no problem with the same hecklers saying basically the same thing.
Okay.
But that's not in the video.
Okay.
But him saying it in that context, he lost it, but people probably lost it before him, but they were of our ethnicity, so they could say it, and it was cool.
Okay. So it's just
that goes problems back to the problem of having information the way it should.
Exactly.
Not just what they want to show you.
We're definitely not
trying to credit Kramer as, you know, a positive light on doing it.
I say he lost it. He lost it and he shouldn't have said it. But I'm saying there were people on stage that said it before him that nobody said anything. Oh, the black guy before him talked about us too. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Or whoever, but we don't know, we would never know the whole story. It doesn't matter what the whole story is. See, America, we're in a 24-hour service news industry. So we have to be the first one to put the story out, regardless if the story is wrong or right. Please take your video camera out, your telephone out, videotape a little 30-second snippet of something, and we're going to make a whole three-month story out of it.
Very true. Well, let me ask you, seeing what Dr. Laura did on her talk show this week, what do you think of that? Did you get a bit of footage?
I didn't hear it.
I saw the brief on it, but see, my thing is we are expecting people that use that word in their own closeted conversations.
Mm.
When conversations get heated, it slips out because it's a common thing they say at home. Now we want them to be respectful to us, but we should actually not, you know, what is that show about anyway? See, we're making stars out of nobodies. And then we want them to be glorious and educated and profound, and that's not what they got to be a star doing.
But you know, this is a woman who has doctor before her name, and I was assuming
that
she earned it.
What does she do? Because I'm lost.
She's just a talk show host. That's what she is. She's a talk show host. And on her show this week, a black woman called in who's in an interracial relationship, and she was getting advice from Dr. Laura about the fact that her husband's friends use racial slurs, use the N-word. And Dr. Laura's comments to her were surprising because she told her that basically black guys use it all the time. And then she went on to say that if you turn on HBO and listen to the black comics, all you hear is N-word, N-word, N-word. And then she went on.
Okay. I was just going to say, I mean, that don't even make no sense coming from a doctor. She's speaking on terms that had nothing to do with the situation of hand. That would be like, okay, I just got beat up by my husband. Well, you know, people on TV get beat up all the time.
Okay.
They should, you know, just watch the TV, and sometimes you can go outside and some of your friends might get beat up. What does that have to do with your personal situation?
Okay.
I want to hear the last of the story. Now, what was the end of it with Dr. on HBO?
So in a five-minute span, she used the N-word 11 times. And so what she said, and when the black woman called on her, she said, how dare you use the N-word? I hope people heard you. And then Dr. Laura said, well, I hope they did. In fact, let me say it again, N-word, N-word, N-word. So when you come back and apologize after you made a statement like that, to me there is no apology that I will accept. So that was on her
show. She needs to be famous. She needed a moment to be famous. That's what that was about.
Well, she got it, and I think it's going to end her talk show reign. I really do. I believe that's going to be the end of it. Let me ask you this. I heard AJ say in his poetry piece that we buried that word. The NAACP did bury that word. So why is it then that Jesse Jackson used it when he was referring to Obama when he thought the mic was off?
Well, because And see, that's what I'm saying. See, this is the America we're living in today, because he's been interviewed by a black man, and they probably had conversations using that word before the show started.
Okay.
And they were in each other's confidence talking. But in order to, they said, we want you to get his guard down. And see, that's what I'm saying. That's what we do now. We to be newsworthy, we have to bring somebody in their common element to the forefront so we can see them in their common place. Because you said, I didn't know it was like that. But Jess was joking with him, and I don't even know if it was, and I saw it. But I'm saying, but they only showed that part. They didn't show all the other parts. So to take it out of context, it's hard when you have two black people talking. It's the same way this show started off, we were saying, because I tell you, I have friends that have called me, and we'd be joking, but we'd joke in the negative context using the N-word.
Okay.
But it's only a couple of people I do that with. You know.
Okay.
But I'm saying, so you don't, we don't know exactly what was said, but it's wrong for him to say it. And it's definitely, but it's even more wrong for them to have the cameras running after they say cut just to view it, because you know it was a setup then.
I think what they're saying is the interview had not even began. And just
the interview, they'd already said cut, because when they're short, they sit in off camera and they got this other little camera running.
Okay,
it was a setup straight up.
I went to Fox today, and this is what Fox reported. O'Reilly, he was saying that the Jesse wasn't even on at the time, but their mics was, they were mic'd, he and the other guy, and they couldn't believe that Jesse had done so many interviews over his lifetime and would not know to always be aware that the mic is on you. But I think the terms that he used was something to the effect that he wanted to mutilate Obama's anatomy, and then he went on to refer to black people as the N-word.
But you know something, and what's your name, man? That's I'm talking to on the phone there. What's your name?
Kundalini.
Kundalini, okay. Now, I'm saying, like, if we had met each other, because I love your conversation, because we could probably talk all day.
Yeah,
but I'm saying, if we had met each other and we was hanging out, I said, man, you know, I cut your balls off, man. You know, we'd just be joking, you know what I'm saying? That would be our conversation. It wouldn't be between anybody else, just me and you. And we'd be laughing and talking and drinking a beer or whatever we do, you know.
White people would say something like, don't bust my balls all the time, so.
I know, but I'm saying, so now just putting that in that context, see, they can tell you whatever story they want to tell you, but the cameras were supposed to be off. Him and Jesse were sitting in the off-camera area having a private whispered conversation, so they turned the mics back on.
Mm-hmm.
I turned the mics back on. I'm saying, so it was a setup. And see, the setup is, and see, they want us to look at the people that we already know are human beings,
mm-hmm.
to show them in the light of being human and the light when they're supposed to be the leader that they are. So as long as we tear down everybody that we've looked up to,
mm-hmm.
then they have nobody left. So what they do, they set up in a situation like, hey, man, just go talk to them and keep talking to them and joke about whatever, because you could drive a conversation wherever you're trying to take it.
I mean, I agree with
and
that.
And turn the cameras
that,
back
you
on.
Know what? But Jesse,
all you need is 30 seconds. Your 30-second clip. So where's the rest of the clip?
Oh, they said that there were other parts of the conversation they chose not to expose. They said that.
Interesting.
That would be why.
That would
be why. Because
not to use them.
Yeah,
we want to show the most negative thing that he said, and not the laughter and stuff that they were sharing in between it.
Right.
We want to make it seem like this, like Jesse was saying, he's gonna go cut Obama's balls off his cell.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, and that's what they want us to believe that Jesse meant. And I'm quite sure Jesse know the pressure running for president because he did it.
Exactly.
And
let me ask you guys, have y'all ever been called the N-word to your face?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. And how did you receive it? What was your response?
Well, when it happened to me, I was serving in the Army. I had just done 3.5 years over in Germany. Came home, landed at St. Charles. Got out the plane, kissed the ground because I said, I'm back to the world. And when I raised up, somebody say, oh, man, look at that nigga. And it was a white man. So it hit me first. But the first thing I thought about, I say, damn, I'm home. Because, see, in Germany, I was an American.
Okay.
In Germany, they hated me because I was American. A lot of people hated me because I was from Texas because we killed presidents.
Right.
That's the only thing they knew. JR and we killed presidents. That's it. So they hated me because I was from Texas or because I was American. But when I got back to America, he said, oh, man, look at that nigga. And the first thing that rang in my mind is, damn, I'm home. I ain't heard the nigga wait in 3.5 years. It is so nice to be here.
Oh, AJ, you silly. Okay, cool.
No, but that's the truth.
You ever been called the N-word?
Several different times, but,
really?
You know, it's just,
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Being in the entertainment business, and man, you just get surprised so many times. Especially like, you know, my name is Kundalini, but a lot of people call me Kun, which is KUWN for short, and it actually means to exist in Arabic. And what's so funny is the ones who use it that are kind of very leery about it, they really, you know, they'll make at some point in time intention and pull me to the side or say something like, hey, man, I really don't care for really trying to use that word. Can I call you something else? Can I call you Delaney or what's your first name or something of that nature? But okay. Then you get the mother ones, hey, Coon, hi, Coon, hey, Coon, good to see you. Hey, what's been going on? How you been?
Yeah, winking the whole time up there, winking.
So, you know. It's quickly deciphered. You know, I've been in a mini issue like that, and it's very funny. It's entertaining to say the least. It's very entertaining.
Hey, Kundalini, you're on Facebook, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so man, you got to hit me up on Facebook for sure.
I will.
So, what's your name on Facebook?
Kundalini, KUWN. Space, and the last name is D-A-L, like Dallas, I-N-I, D-A-L-I-N-I,
okay.
Kundalini.
I'll get
my name is Easy. My name is Easy, man. I'm AJ Houston.
I want to make sure you guys get connected. Listen, we're in the last few minutes of the show. Chris Rock said to put the N-word in the wrong hands is like nitroglycerin. So closing out today, would y'all say y'all agree with that? Even though we as black people sometimes use it amongst ourselves and sometimes even in other company, is it used in the wrong hands very dangerous?
Well, I think anything, a pencil in the wrong hands of somebody is
okay.
Dangerous. I'm saying so whatever we want to give merit to whatever star said something to make it seem like he said something negative. See, we're back to that point again. To where people want to pull one thing out and you don't even know everything he said before that because he do 2 hour sets. You know, so to pull that out and say, okay, Chris Rock said this, but he probably said about 5 or 6 African jokes, Hispanic jokes, white jokes, you know, car jokes, you know, movie jokes before he got to that point. So we don't even know what context it was taken out of. But see, I think we should stop pulling and tugging on what the bones that people throw us like they're still meat on them.
Okay. Kundalini, what do you think?
I think that first of all, again, and I'm going to make that point about good old Webster. It's a dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
Diction. How did we get to the point to where this dude can give us definitions from a dictionary?
Mm-hmm.
How did we get to the point to where pros are positive but prostitutes are negative? How did we get to the point to where cons are negative or against, yet we tend to defend the Constitution? Are we really serious with these words?
Okay, I can receive that. Listen, we're down to our last few minutes. Guys, I thank you so much for being my guest today. Again, if y'all want to hit these guys up, get them on your show, talk to them yourselves, give them the information on how they can contact y'all. Kundalini.
Well,
or
AJ. He's a man with the poetry. Go ahead.
Okay, AJ.
Well, my name is AJ Houston. I have a network called WeekendBooksTV.com, and you can join us for independent artists and independent writers and, you know, you can join that, just check it out. But if you can find me on Facebook, everywhere I am, I'm AJ Houston. My name is going to be the same. I don't have any fake names or any other things. I'm going by my government name because I'm going to make it mean something. It don't matter who gave it to me. I wear it like a badge. It's AJ Houston. I'm saying Google me. You'll find me. I've been performing all over the nation. You'll find me on Facebook, on MySpace, on Twitter, AJ Houston, all three of them.
Okay, cool. How do they find you?
You can find me on Facebook under Kundalini, KUWNDALINI. I'm definitely on there all the time. That's one of the best ways to get me. Or you can also email me at info@KUWN@Kun@yahoo.com. I do also DJ, and I'm also a promoter, so I'm definitely always looking for new music and new people to work with in the entertainment industry.
Wow. Listen, this is going to conclude another segment of Center Stage. I have enjoyed my panel very much. Y'all have really enlightened me on the subject, educated me on some areas, and it really made me think about how we use the N-word. Thank you so much for being my guest, and we'll see you
Thanks
guys next
me.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.